Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for tuning in for today's program, The Career Trap. This is a big topic, but lately it seems like I have been talking about it a lot with clients and friends, and so I've decided I'm going to put it out there as today's program. It's bugging me, and I just need to say something. I want to help people out of the trap. And so today, I could be giving you advice, you know, specific advice about the career trap, how to avoid it, how to get out of it, that kind of thing. And I guess in a way I'll be doing that, but really what I want to do today is really get a little philosophical. I want to make you think, maybe open your mind up a little to consider what, you know, my experience and my observations have taught me about this thing we call the career trap. Okay, so you're probably wondering what I mean by the career trap. What is it? The career trap is this, basically. What most of us in the workforce collectively believe, that there's a system or a decision path that's supposed to work in a certain way. We get trapped by this belief. We get caught in the career trap. And let me add that there are actually two versions of the career trap. I mean, it's the same, but there's kind of like two ways you experience it depending on where you are in life. Because there's the one I see that young people have that they get into when they're coming up into the workforce, like they're getting into college or getting out of college and coming into the workforce. And then there's the one I see where you have seasoned workers dealing with this career trap later in their careers, and it kind of looks a little different for them as they are more seasoned. And of course, if the young person would hear what I'm going to say and grasp what I'm going to say, maybe he or she wouldn't have to deal with a version of the career trap that potentially waits for them later on. Hey, as Benjamin Franklin once said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So on that note, let's talk about the early career version of the career trap first. And this is where it all starts. And it goes like this. If I work hard in school and get good grades, I'll get into a decent college. And then I'll get an education, graduate with a decent GPA, and then I'll get a decent paying job and a career that I'll love for the rest of my work life. So I do the plan, and I graduate, and I find that it's not so easy to get a good job in my chosen career without experience. Oops. And my parents and I are wondering, what's wrong? Shouldn't that college education be opening up some doors? And what if my college degree isn't a traditional STEM degree, you know, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics? Those jobs might be more readily available to new grads. But what if it's a humanities degree, you know, like languages, literature, art, music, philosophy, and so forth? What about a business degree, which might include special emphasis on fields like marketing, sales, advertising, where, by the way, there's loads of competition in the job market. In fact, a business major is the most popular major. Here's a little side note of interest. According to a USA Today article I read from a couple of years ago, these are the 10 most popular college majors. Number one, like I just mentioned, business administration and management. Number two, general psychology. Number three, nursing. Okay. We've got a STEM degree there. Okay, that's good. General biology could probably also be counted in a STEM degree. Teacher education, so people wanting to become teachers. Number six is criminal justice and corrections. Number seven, which, by the way, that surprised me, but number six is criminal justice and corrections. Number seven, accounting. So my daughter, who is a millennial, she was asking me, is accounting considered a STEM degree? I'm like, because it's mathematics? No, actually, it's really a variation on business. So it's not really as much a STEM degree as it is a business degree. Liberal arts and college and sciences, so that would be, what we just mentioned, psychology, art, music, that kind of thing. That's number eight. Number nine is English language and literature. And number 10 is history. So we have the top 10. Notice no engineering on the top 10 for U.S. Most popular degree programs. Anyway, so maybe you know it won't be easy, but shouldn't I be able to get a better job, you might think, than waiting tables, flipping burgers, and selling shoes at the mall? I mean, I should be able to get a job with a career track if I get a business degree, right? and believe me, I know the story because it was mine too. I mean, if I really want to study art, but, you know, it seems more sensible to study marketing and advertising, I mean, that's a degree. It should lead to a J-O-B, right? Not necessarily. And this is what I mean by the career trap, believing that college will lead to a career path. Hey, keep this in mind. Colleges and universities don't promise you a job. They promise you an education. The purpose of a higher education institution is to give you, provide you with a higher education degree, not a job. So if you want an education that leads to a job, go to a vocational school. They won't necessarily guarantee you a job either, but that's more along the lines of what they're in business for, what their purpose is. I know because I used to work at a vocational school, and I have a liberal arts degree from a higher education institution, so I definitely know the differences here. Anyway, check this out. According to the data that the Bureau of Labor Statistics released back in, this is in August 2013, the unemployment rate for college graduates back then, that means age 20 to 24, was 10 to 11% unemployment. Now, fortunately, things have improved since 2013 because according to the U.S. Department of Education in 2015, so just last year, unemployment rates for young adults aged 20 to 24 with a bachelor's degree was around 5%. So that's a much improved number. However, there is some bad news for those with only some college and not a degree. The unemployment rate for that age group, for the age group for those people, was 10%. And those with a high school education, they were looking at a 16% unemployment rate in 2015. So, of course, getting an education does help you become more employable. But let's put aside all the unemployment rates because here's a bit of a reality check, and it's from an article in Forbes last year called The 5.4% Unemployment Rate Means Nothing for Millennials. The author cites a startling statistic from some research published a couple of years ago, and in the article, quote, it says, 44% of college grads in their 20s are stuck in low-wage, dead-end jobs, the highest rate in decades. That's 44% of them. And the number of young people making less than $25,000 a year has also spiked to the highest level since the 1990s. So the author comes right out at the beginning of this article, and by the way, it looks like she does what I do, except she does job search advising for millennials in particular, whereas my clientele is more broadly based demographically. Anyway, she comes right out at the beginning, and she makes a statement about the career trap, or what she likes to call the career lie. And this is a quote. She says, quote, working hard and getting a solid education does not necessarily lead to career success or even a decent-paying job, end quote. But I'd like to add that her article isn't all about doom and gloom, okay, because she does provide some great tips, what she calls best practices, for anyone looking for a job. And it's good for anyone, not just millennials. So if you're looking, go read her article. So finally, before I leave this first version of the career trap and move on to the second version for the more seasoned workers, and don't worry, I'm going to end this topic today with something hopeful and a high note. I'll give you something to think about that, you know, I found to be the key to avoiding and getting into the, you know, so you want to get out of the career trap. But real quick, I want to mention this other interesting article called 7 Reasons Why Millennials Are Unemployed and Living at Home. That title is just like blows my mind. Anyway, 7 reasons. And because there are several reasons cited in the article that are of particular interest to me, because I keep seeing these things over and over with the work that I do. I mean, these are interesting reasons. I'm not going to say all of them, but these are particularly interesting. The rise of the unpaid internship. So, like, what's up with that? I thought that was illegal, that you would not pay interns. Anyway, but there's apparently a rise in that. Also, entry-level jobs are scarce. Well, this is true because of one of the other reasons on the list, that baby boomers are not retiring. So, yeah, if they're not retiring and they're willing to work part-time, they can take entry-level jobs and be legitimate in their claim to, you know, not wanting to grow and move up in the company because they're not trying to do that. So they can take entry-level jobs away from entry-level people. Interesting. The paradox of needing, this is a big one, right? The paradox of needing job experience to get a job. Yeah, that's a big one. And then here's one on the list that I thought, let's kind of file this one away in the back of my mind, on your mind, because we're going to talk about it later, and that's the go after your dreams philosophy. So the author looks at this is one of the reasons why millennials may be unemployed, but I want to talk about that later, so definitely file that one back in your mind for later. Okay, so what about the second version of the career trap that I mentioned, the one that comes up later in the career? Well, that version is pretty much the same. I mean, that it's still a collective belief about a decision path and what it's supposed to look like in a certain way and all that, about the path being the one that you love for the rest of your working days. Except for this time, it changes flavor a little because it happens at a different stage in life. And this time, you realize you're caught in the career trap because maybe you're having serious doubts about your career path. Maybe the doubts are coming about because your career path is becoming obsolete. Maybe it's too volatile because, you know, you're risking losing a job in it because the job that you have in your chosen career is susceptible to outsourcing or being replaced because your employer sees your salary or your whole department even as a line item in the budget that needs serious trimming. So, you know, labor costs, after all, are the highest expense for most industries. And or maybe it's not an external reason at all that's causing the crisis. Maybe it's something internal happening with you. Like maybe you're not cool with the career that your 20-year-old self picked. So there's the belief that traps most seasoned professionals who I talk to when they're in their situation, and that is, I can't change my career path now. Okay, so that belief is a trap. It's totally based on false assumptions. Like, for example, everything I've done before won't count. Like, that's not true. And here's another one. I hear this one the most. I'm 35 years old, or I'm 40 years old. It seems like that happens a lot with people when they get into their 40s. And sometimes I'll talk to people who have maybe just turned 50, or they've just turned 55. They tend to tell me this. It's like they volunteer the information when I'm talking to them without me even asking them about their age. So there seems to be some correlation to this internal thing happening. So, but the fear they have is I can't start over. Like, hello, who said anything about starting over? What you've learned about your work and life and all those experiences you've gone through in your career so far, they contain valuable data. They're valuable, period. Plus, I also want you to consider the math. Truly think about this. Like, okay, so in 2010, I came across some great work done by Dr. Ken Dykewald. He's a psychologist, a gerontologist, and a best-selling author. He's written about a dozen books on age-relating issues. And one huge point that Dr. Dykewald makes that really stands out for me is that we'll be living longer and healthier than we used to. And that means will possibly be working longer, too. Apparently, in 1800, the average life expectancy was about 40 years old, actually less than 40 years old. And today, the average lifespan is more than 77 years in the U.S. In Japan, a country with one of the highest life expectancies, men, they're expected to live 78, and women to 81. So in his book, the one that I really like a lot, The Power Years, it's called The Power Years, He helps make the case about the career trap, as far as I'm concerned, and he talks about this belief that seasoned workers have that their career is a linear model and that it's supposed to look a certain way. And Dr. Dykewald talks about a new model based on extended lifespans. He calls it the cyclic lifespan. He talks about how in the old model we grew up, we went to school, we worked hard while getting married and raising a family, and then we died. And the belief system included the thought that life is too short for second chances. But the reality is that now that we have more flexibility, as lifespan increases, well, we may end up working longer, but rather than waiting until retirement to relax, we might build in regular breaks throughout our life. So it's not linear. It's cyclical or cyclic, you know, depending on where you are in your career and life, okay? So the paradigm shift here is that because of an extended lifespan, you have a built-in second chance at exploring passions. And not only will you have more time and the wisdom to realize what truly brings you happiness, you'll have more actual time to not just explore it, but to pursue it and do it. I mean, okay, so here's a great example. Let's just say, I thought of this example when I was preparing for this program. Let's just say that when you were young, you chose a path to be a physical therapist, and now you're 40. And now you're thinking, I want to stop being a physical therapist. It doesn't matter what your reasons are. Let's just say you've decided that this isn't the career path you want anymore. Are you too old to change career paths? Heck no. That's because You might just be doing whatever your new career path or paths, because let's just not forget here that you might have several passions to explore and want to do. So anyway, let's just say that you do actually decide to retire at 65. According to Dr. Dykewald, it's not likely, but let's just say you will, okay? He says we're not likely to retire at 65, and as a matter of fact, I heard from an economist a couple of years ago that said that women in my home state of Texas at 65 are one of the largest growing populations of workers because they're not retiring at 65. So go figure that. Anyway, but let's just say you were going to retire at 65, at least from whatever it is you're doing full-time at that time. Let's just say you're going to retire from doing it full-time at least. Now let's do the math. You were in school trying to figure out your career path for the first couple of years. Let's just say you didn't know that you wanted to be a physical therapist at first. You took some core curriculum classes, and now you're 20, and then you decide, I want to be a physical therapist. So you finish your degree, you take two more years to finish your degree, and then you go right into grad school, and that takes, you know, a couple of more years. So let's just say 4 years later, you graduate. Now you're 24, and you become a physical therapist. And let's just say now, fast forward in time, you're 40. You've been a physical therapist for 16 years. And now you're considering changing your career path. And let's just say you're going to work until 65. So the math on that is that you have a career ahead of you for another 25 years. You can still dedicate yourself to doing something else for 25 more years. So don't you see? What is ahead of you is far longer a period of time to give your career than what you just gave the physical therapy career. So 25 years ahead of you, 16 years behind you. So guess what? The good news is that you are wiser now and more experienced now at 40 when you're making this next step and this change than you were when you were trying to choose something at 20 years old. So why are you doubting this as an option? I'll tell you why. It's the career trap. So the career trap is this belief system that says, I've got to do it this way because it's the way I'm expected to do it. And when you question it, it becomes a crisis. You feel trapped. You doubt yourself. Don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt that small inner voice that bubbles up to the surface and then decides to assert itself and be loud enough to make you hear it and question the trap. Listen to it and take action. So let's review real quick. When you're young, society says go to school, do well in school, and when you graduate, your career awaits you. Yeah, right, okay? When you're older, society says you've committed to this path and you've invested so much, changing would be foolish. You're too old to start over. False. False. Here's the truth. When you're young, you won't have it all figured out. Even from a young age, let's just say from a young age, you want to be a doctor and heal people. You still have to do a lot of self-discovery and personal development. When you're 20, you don't know what you don't know. How can you? When it comes to the career decisions, whether you have to go to school or not, or decide to go to school or not, the truth is that when you're young, you need to accumulate some data. You need to have some experiences and try out stuff so you can know what and who you're all about, so you can do the work of self-discovery. What makes you unique? You have to do some living, do some working, and learn this about yourself. And when you're older, you're not starting over. Everything you've ever done is accumulated data. You're not going to throw that out. It's all important. It holds clues for you to use. It's all helpful because it contains, those experiences contain the essence, the evidence of what your uniqueness is. So the work I do with people is uncovering that, figuring that out based on the experiences that they have. So my advice, no matter your career stage, is that you make yourself aware of the statistics, the odds, the probabilities, that you talk to others taking the career path you're considering, and all of that. And about the idea of the go after your dreams philosophy, there is nothing wrong with this. I mean, I strongly encourage it because who wants to work around someone who's always miserable? And why should you endanger your health by working at a job you hate? And I mean it. I'm not just saying this flippantly because I know people who have been through this. You can give yourself a heart problem after years of not having your heart in your work. And so I really have seen it happen too often. And your family, by the way, wants you to be a happy person when you come home to be working with them, to be with them after work. So if you are giving it all away and you're not happy, and then when you come back to them, you have nothing left over in the tank because you just Yeah, you get my point. So also, I want to say here, though you go after your dream, you need to, I think, take a pragmatic approach as well. You don't have to lose sight of your dreams, but I do advise that you have a contingency plan. And don't be afraid to take what I call a bridge job or bridge jobs until you can realize your dreams, whether it's experimenting to figure out what you want and don't want, or whether it's making strategic moves. I'm a big fan of making strategic moves in a career path. So take jobs that can give you the data that you need, the contacts you need, the experience that you need, the knowledge that you need, and so forth, so you can take those closer steps to your dream. And finally, I want to bring up one last point about the career trap, and specifically the belief that if you have more than one interest, more than one thing that you want to explore a career doing, that there's something wrong with you, that it's a crisis. It's not a freaking crisis to have different interests. Can I say that again? It's not a crisis to have different interests. I wish I could tell everybody that, like a blanket statement. Read this before we talk on the phone. Read this before I meet with you in a session. In fact, it's so common to have different interests that career expert Barbara Sher, she wrote a terrific book with a fabulous title. The book's called I Could Do Anything I Wanted If Only I Knew What It Was. Isn't that a great title? Anyway, she has a term for this. It's so common, okay? She says there are two career types. First, there's the specialist, which is what our society tends to revere. This is a person who chooses one career and does a deep dive into it until retirement or death. For example, it's the woman who chooses a career in medicine, becomes a research physician. She's going to cure some disease and devotes her whole career to that purpose. We tend to admire those specialist types, don't we? Anyway, Barbara Sher calls the other type of person a scanner. This is someone who scans the horizon every once in a while, who wonders what else is out there to try, do, master. We tend to criticize these types. They're fickle. They can't make up their mind. And by the way, some of us, even if we are truly specialists, might appear to be scanners when we're young because we're having to try out some stuff. And maybe not just because we're young, but because we're in the transition. So yet, this is the problem we see sometimes, right? Parents who worry for our well-being. If we're a young person and our parent is, you know, kind of nagging on us, what are you going to choose? What are you going to do? Pick something in college. Go get a job doing it. They want to see us settling on something. And they can, without meaning to, add additional pressure. You know, it's just all part of the career trap, isn't it? They're probably in it, too. Anyway, so back to the scanners. They have a place in our society where they're looked up to, by the way. And we admire them as entrepreneurs, like Richard Branson. Think about him. He has the whole Virgin Empire, Virgin Records, Virgin Airlines, Virgin Aerospace, Virgin Mobile, and so forth. And if you saw the infographic for his business interests, if you saw all of it mapped out, you would see that he had a lot of unrelated businesses and not all of them with the Virgin label. So anyway, scanners, they scan the horizon, then they go off to master something else. They are awesome. If you are a scanner, you're awesome. Knowing it about yourself means you can lean into it and you can use it as a strength instead of buying into a belief that, you know, causes it to be part of the career trap. Look, making it to 40 or 50 years old and having a desire to scan the horizon is normal. So get out of the trap, people. Stop getting hung up about that. Okay, last thing I want to say is, well, it's really not my own words. It's something the late, great Frank Zappa said. He was a man who got it, who knew what the career trap was, as evidenced by these words, his words. He said, quote, if you end up with a boring, miserable life because you listen too much to your mom, your dad, your teacher, your priest, or some guy on television telling you how to do your shit, then you deserve it, end quote. Oh, my goodness. That pretty much says it. All right. That's all I have for today. Next program is on September 18th. And I told you today was going to be about a lot about philosophy, philosophical concepts. But next time I want to simply focus on sharing some really true, great stories about people who successfully shifted into work they love. So don't stop this conversation. Let's keep it going. And next time I want to talk about some real people who are inspiring. And if you want to avoid or get out of the career trap, then I want to help you get inspired. So there you go. In the meantime, if you're interested in my books, my courses, my other programs, or you want to connect with me through Facebook and Twitter, you can find me there. Look at angelaloeb.com. That's angelaloeb.com, and you'll see those links. Feel free to reach out. I'd love to connect with you. And so now it's time to sign off. Until next time, be well and keep on shining like you're meant to.